Thank you, Susan. All right, yay! Welcome everybody to our LFP summer camp theme treasure hunt part two. Super excited. This is my summer camp counselor fawn look. I figured I'd at least, you know, look the part tonight. I wear a ball cap maybe once every 10 years, but it's a perfect occasion and I made a fancy label. But this got me excited. I was like, I can't wait until we have LFP swag. Going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, I digress. So lovely to see all of you here. So lovely to see Maura walking in the sunshine in Cali. So we're going to do intro round and we're going to play games tonight. We're going to have fun. It's going to be interactive. There's no workbook. We're not going to be getting too serious. And with intro round, oh yeah, if this big black whatever that is keeps flying in, you guys might see me jumping and running around like a monkey, and if so, that's what's going on. Living in the jungle every day, never a boring moment. truly, I mean, it's either toads, right? I think that was our last call or two calls ago. The toads. The other day I had a bat. Now I have a wasp. So here we are. So intro round. Let's do. It is like a real summer camp, exactly. I even brought my bug spray, so I guess I could use this. Let's do name, location. There's some exciting new locations going on in the group tonight. And a memory from childhood, from summertime, that brings you a lot of joy to think about. So it could be like a snapshot memory. It could be like a scene. It could be something that happened or just like a sweet moment. But something from your younger years. It's not from childhood necessarily, but a sweet summer memory, a little snapshot for us. Name, location, and a memory. And then we'll play a fun game after intro round. Who would like to start? I bet Maura would, because she's out walking around.
All right, I will turn. Can I turn? I don't know if you can turn your camera around. Hold on. For location. Yeah. Okay. So location is Long Beach. Well, actually, I'm going to take a little detour on my location to show you something that makes me super duper duper happy about my location. So I live on Appleton in Long Beach. So anybody who knows Southern California knows it's sort of near the beach in Long Beach. It's a little bit east of downtown, but as an ally or someone who counts herself as an ally, I get to cross, I'm hoping you guys can see them, at least 4 rainbow crosswalks a day. So
awesome.
That's what I'm trying to get to so you guys can see. That I live in Boys Town. Yay!
Yeah.
Rainbow crosswalks everywhere. So, all right, and a crazy dog. So it's very, very LGBTQ friendly, which makes me happy. I am not LGBT or Q, but it makes me very happy. So, rainbow crosswalks. I've never lived in Long Beach. When I lived all my years in Los Angeles, I didn't live down this way. But over the last 4 years from Connecticut and our visits, we kept coming to visit friends here. We really liked it. It was Michael's idea. So,
yeah.
It was Michael's. He's like, how about Long Beach? And I was like, okay. Because things I learned about myself, during the pandemic especially was, I liked having an office. And my company that I work for has a location about 20 minutes from here. And I really liked over the last 4 years of being sort of sad in my location in Connecticut. I really, really got a lot of peace from the water. I lived near the Long Island Sound. So now I'm 5 blocks from the Pacific. So that is my location.
Yay.
And my name is Maura. And a fun memory from summer camp. You know, we did Girl Scout camp. I remember the cabins. I can't think of a good specific one. So I have I mean, I have nice feelings about it and about being part of a group and doing, you know, like badgy stuff, like getting the sash. But I can't think of a specific summer camp memory.
What about, so summertime, like what did you love to do during the summer?
Summertime.
Where like you're excited to get out of school. You're like, I can't wait. You're like watching the clock on the last day of school.
Oh, that's good. I guess camping, I guess sort of like Girl Scout camp or some sort of going camping, and going to the beach, like going swimming, being near the water.
Nice. I think that's probably it. Nice. Yay. So okay. I'm going to give the crew a little context here. So Maura, Maura found me. When did you find me? 3 years ago?
I found out right then. Sorry.
I think three.
Before I had this nightmare. I found you. Yeah, about 3 years. January, February of 19. That's when I found you because I started my job in March of 19, and I found you right before when I was making the decision. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, long story really short, but I just want to give some context as to like what a huge deal it is that we're here with you as you're walking the streets of Long Beach. Maura reached out to me to, she had some big decisions on the horizon, and the big decision that she thought she hired me for ended up not being the biggest decision. and so for the past couple of years, we've been, as with all of you, working on listening to inner truth and sorting through all of the complicated life stuff, family stuff, when it comes to what is truly the best thing for me. And Maura has a son and she had moved to Connecticut to be near family. And so she clicked into her inner truth and got clarity last year about it and decided to move back to California and make it happen. And so as of a week ago, Maura, right, you've landed in Long Beach and following your hell yes, and it's awesome. Yeah. So proud. You guys can take yourselves off mute and give Maura a holler.
Yay.
Yay, Maura.
Thank you. Yay. Yeah. So proud of you, Maura.
Thank you.
You did the freaking thing.
I'm doing it.
Yay. Awesome. All right. Who would like to go next, or shall I just... You guys know I'm going to go around the circle anyway. Jasmine. I saw movement.
Yeah, I was saying just go around the circle. I am Jazz. I'm in Northwest New Jersey in a town called Layton. And we always used to just go on family vacation. We didn't really do, I don't think much else over the summers like that I was trying to think about. And family vacation was the highlight because I was the only child growing up with just my mom, and my mom's the youngest of eight. So I had like 16 first cousins that were like my family who I like lived with and rotated in and out with. And we just grew up like brothers and sisters. And so family vacation was like, you know, you rented one of those huge houses that slept 35 people. And there was always water, whether it was a beach or a lake, and boats. And I remember like water skiing. I loved water skiing so much. And just being with all my cousins, you know, the hierarchy that exists, and the play as it transforms from when you're younger to older, and all the fun memories. So it was definitely, I didn't go to camp. You know, or anything like that. I think it was probably more of a money thing than anything, but definitely we did one summer family vacation that was awesome. Yeah.
Nice. Wow. That's amazing to have that like cousins galore like that. Just like, or that much family.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So special.
Wow. Indeed. Thanks, Jazz. And I meant to make this comment at the beginning of the call, and I'll make it here too. It was on my mind earlier this evening. I have a really tender place in my heart and in like my being for the childhoods that we all live, and the highlights and the happiness, and also like childhood was really fucking tough for a lot of us and like wasn't all summer camp and daisies and rainbows. So I really want to honor that in this space and just put it out there that like there's absolutely like it's all absolutely welcome in terms of if your happiness moment in summer camp was like being able to eat peanut butter out of the jar or whatever, right? It's not, I'm not trying to highlight anybody's situation in a way that is, you know, that is sensitive like that. So just wanted to speak to that. So who would like to go next? Oh, there's two more. How about you, Layla? Hi. I want to pick on you.
Hey guys.
Hi.
I think mine's actually similar to yours, Jasmine. Like I grew up with, my dad had five brothers on his side and I grew up with them, my cousins on that side, because we all live very close to each other. And so I think last time I counted, I have like 28 cousins on my dad's side. And yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of people. And I think, I mean, they're, in a way, they're like my extended siblings and we're all like so close and yeah, very grateful for that. And I think my favorite memories from my childhood in the summer was like going to my Aunt Malka's house and like go swimming with my cousins all the time. That was so much fun. Like she was, I think, they were the family that had the pool. So we all went over there. It was so, so, so much fun. Yeah. I always hold that close to me.
That's so sweet. Your family. And, Layla, where are you right now?
Oh, I forgot. I'm in Mexico City. I've been here for, about a week, maybe a little less, a few days. And I also spent a couple weeks in Todos Santos, which is a little bit outside of Cabo San Lucas with my cousins, which was really nice. So yeah, I'm in Mexico.
Yay. And she's moving my way. She's not moving. Well, we'll see. She's headed my way. I'm like vortexing Layla into Puerto Vallarta for a few weeks. I'm so excited.
Me too. Oh my goodness.
Yay. Maybe on the next group call, maybe it'll just line up that you're like, we're here together.
Yeah, we'll just so be cool. On the same screen together.
Yeah, exactly. Yay. Thanks for the intro.
Of course.
Who's next?
Maybe she kills all the bugs for you. She'll kill the bugs for you, Fawn.
You can be my backup bug killer.
I don't know how of good help I'll be. I'd probably like hide under a towel or something.
I'm sure that's everybody's dream job. It's just my bug splatter.
Oh, I'd probably find a way to make it worse.
All right. Who's up to bat here? Let's go to Ren.
Hey, ladies. I'm Ren. I'm still just outside of Rockford, Illinois. We just got back from vacation last week, which was fun. I still need to make a post about that in the group, but I haven't done that yet. Puppy is like all encompassing in my brain. So you know how that goes.
Ren has a puppy.
We just picked her up on Wednesday and I'm remembering how much I hate raising puppies.
What kind of puppy is she? She looked like a pit bull? No.
No, she's a King Corso, so she's another Mastiff. We've got, Etha's a Bull Mastiff, and now we've got a King Corso, or what is it, Italian Mastiff.
You like the small dogs.
Yeah, of course. she's our first Corso, so we're hoping we do it right, and she turns out as good as Etha did.
Aww.
But for summer memories, I think my favorite summer memory was just when my family lived on the farm and we lived in, it was a little bitty farm in the foothills of Ohio, about a couple hours outside of Columbus. And I used to go running around through the woods all day, every day during the summer, completely on my own. And Zach and I got to, I thought of that because Zach and I got to do that just last week when we went to visit our property in Tennessee for the first time.
Oh my God.
It. It is, and I need, that's going to be part of the post that I need to do. I downloaded all the pictures off my phone and now I need to sort, finish sorting through everything. But yeah,
it's so exciting, Ren.
Yeah, now we're trying to figure out how we're going to make it happen that we can actually move down there and put a house on it and, you know, and all that good stuff. So,
wow, what was it like to see it in the summertime?
It was, oh my goodness, it's beautiful. You cannot see the other mountains from our mountain because of all the trees. But that's okay because there's a couple of clear, like kind of clear areas because it's all bedrock, and there's like, it's just, it's heavily wooded. Other than that, it's gorgeous. It is just beautiful.
Wow.
I was a little concerned that there didn't seem to be any mosquitoes. That was weird, but we did find all the ticks.
Well, I have both down here, so consider yourself lucky.
We have both out here too, but that's why it was a little weird. It's like, I know there's supposed to be more mosquitoes than this because we forgot to put on bug spray. And then we didn't end up staying at the staying the night at the property. We ended up getting a hotel room because we were just going to be there for like one day instead of longer than that we'd originally planned. And so we got back to the hotel and I only had two ticks on me. He had like 20. I have no idea how that happened. It was ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But yeah, running through the woods all on my own in the middle of summer. That was like the best thing ever.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks for that share. And congrats. I'm so excited that you guys got to go see the property in person.
Me too.
That's like, oh my gosh. I can only imagine like how that must have felt like driving up and like stepping out of the car and
yeah.
Wow, so excited for you. Cool. Yeah. Yay, thanks for the share. All right, who's up next? Mia.
All right, so yeah, I'm Mia. I'm in Georgia now. I grew up in Rhode Island, so there's this one moment actually that I wanted to share. So like during the summers, we go to the beach, and I'm actually not a very beachy person. Like, I just don't like baking in the sun. It always gives me a headache. It always gave me a headache as a child. I never loved it the way, you know, a lot of people do. But one time it was really funny. I think I was trying to take a nap on the beach, and then, you know, I had my shoes, but I don't know why they were these, like, really fancy black, like, slick shoes, you know, with like, and I had these socks with the little pom-poms, and so it's like really not, you know, beach wear at all. I don't know why I wore them to the beach, but I had tucked the socks inside the black shoes. And then the next thing I knew, a seagull like flew by and swooped down and took my shoe, you know, like was in flying away with it. I was like, oh my God, those are my favorite shoes. So I was like running after the seagull on the beach. Can you imagine? Like, I was like a 10-year-old, and I'm yelling at the seagull like, give it back. And then so it dropped my shoe, but it took the sock, one of my favorite pairs, like, so now, like, yeah, it left with the sock, so I never got the sock back, but at least I had, you know, the shoe came. I can just imagine the sight with the other beach goers, you know, like this kid running after a seagull.
Like a shiny shoe and a pom-pom sock.
No. Yeah,
I wonder you don't lead in like the beach. Like, that, all of that doesn't really seem to be the fit setting for the beach.
Yeah, I know. Aww. I was not a beach bunny.
Oh, you but lost yes, your favorite sock.
So that was like a nice memory that I still remember. So that's something.
Oh, did you get like a consolation prize? You got your shoe back though, at least.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think my parents cared, you know. Like, they were just like, whatever.
They're like, my pom-pom sock. They're like, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, did you have any like fear or frustration with birds after that?
No, no. I mean, I could see the humor in it even that back then. You know, it was funny. It was a funny sight and a cool experience. Yeah, I'm surprised that it can even carry a shoe, you know, in its feet, because you know seagulls aren't that big, and the shoe is relatively, I would think, heavy to their weight. So that was pretty impressive that it did that. But yeah, I guess seagulls can be vicious, right? They're known to be like big scavengers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is like a beginning of a children's story, like the seagull that takes the girl's shoe, and then like something, like a whole thing unfolds from there. Like, I don't know, I just have this like image of an illustration in a children's book.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm gonna
that's a great story.
Keep that in mind. Because I am stuck actually on a children's book. Like I was in the process of writing one, but it just like, and then I was just like, oh, the plot, there was no villain. Yeah, there was no villain. There was no drama, you know? So then I was like, oh, I don't have time for this. But now maybe I'll let that marinate.
I have to interject because this is just too crazy of timing. So Mia, with your seagull story, Cora just turned 5 and she got this book. And the whole premise, it's like 15 pages long. But every page is like a group of 4 little creatures. And all it says is, shh, we have a plan. And like, it's a bird. And then like the next page says like, look, there's a bird. Shh, we have a plan. And then it's just like they're up a tree and it looks like they're going to like catch the bird. And then like the next page is just that like the bird flies away. And it's like, shh, we have a plan. And then now it's a squirrel. And so I just envisioned, like, and there, it feels like there's no plot. Like, Joel and I were like, this book sucks. Cora reads it every night. Every single night.
How does it end? Or there's no.
There's no ending. It's the worst book ever. Like, there's like a bird, and then they did the same thing with the squirrel. And then there's like, I don't know, like, we have a plan, and then there's no animal, and like, I guess you expect that they're like gonna keep doing this with like a bunch of other. It's just,
like, oh, it's wow,
the worst book ever. She loves it. So I mean, if all it is like the seagull with the sock, and they just like have a plan.
I've got a plan.
And they keep spotting the seagull. It's literally called Shh, We Have a Plan, if you want to look it up.
That is hilarious. I will.
You've got a book right there. So and she loves it.
Yeah. And if the plan is never revealed, like they don't have a plan.
Or it's just like I think it's just a plan to like it's all imaginative, like imagination. And I think that's probably why she loves it, because like you have no idea like what the plan is, how they're gonna catch the animal, what the animal's going to do. Because there's
maybe the author didn't have a plan. You know, he was just like, I don't have a plan.
It's just like wide open to interpretation, which is probably why she loves it. So there you go.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's so good. That's really random. Like, that's the kind of thing that makes me wonder, like, is this is a prank? Or like some, you
part
know, like
simulation.
Exactly. Like, what is this? Oh, I love it. Or like one day, like, the sequel
like,
gets
ever,
they
you've
released.
Never seen a baby pigeon, right? Like, no one's ever seen a baby.
Baby pigeon?
Yeah, that's like a joke.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Or a baby seagull, either.
That's baby seagull. Yeah, that's like part of the simulation, like because they like take them and they make them into drones. And then...
Jasmine.
You never heard it? It's all part of it. I don't know. Anyways.
Jasmine. I'm just kidding.
Shh, we have a plan.
Oh God, that's so good. All right, Deborah. This is so fun. You are
caught me because I was clicking on the link in the chat. Let me close this because I get distracted very easily. So what is it, Jasmine? You give me hope that I can write a book one day. So. And so that's wonderful. So I am in Dublin, California, in the Bay Area, and I'm Deborah. And thank you, Fawn, for saying hi Thank you, Fawn, for mentioning that. Because, you know, I really started to feel like, oh, my God, the way I grew up, you know, I don't have these fantastic stories. And so, but I'm still going to be positive. And so, anyway, my memory is of maybe I was first or second grade. And so in the summertime, we didn't do anything. I come from a big family and a big family of a big family, right? So it's a lot of us, a lot of cousins, but we mostly just stayed home and played because we were our own team kind of thing, right? And so, but I remember when I was about first or second grade, I had a best friend who lived the back of my house and the back of her house were together, right? And so when I went out, when I went in my backyard, I would be in her backyard, right? And so she was my best friend. And so we always hung out in the summertime. And my dad, when he would come home from work, he always drove this big red truck, and Mr. Clay in the big truck, right? The big red truck. So he would come home and we would run up to the car when he would get home and to the truck. And when he would step out, we would each grab one of his legs. And she would hold on to one and out. And she didn't have a dad, by the way. You know, her dad wasn't around. And so we would hold on to his legs and he would walk like this, right, into the house. And we would just be laughing. Like, it was just so funny. And so that, like, every single day we did this, and every day we thought it was so funny. And so that's what I remember. My friend Jackie and, you know, the simple things that make kids happy, like, we have a plan, right? And so, yeah, that's my fond memory from summer. Yeah.
So sweet. You're such a great storyteller. I guess
follow that. I got another book.
Oh, so sweet. Just like clinging on and like laughing.
Every day. For 3 months, right?
So sweet. Oh, thanks, Deborah. Awesome. Let's see. Oh, I think we've gotten everybody. So I'm Fawn, I'm in Yalapa, and summer memory. Man, I had hippie parents. I lived in the middle of the woods, and I was not allowed to watch TV. So I used my imagination a lot, and which is amazing. I'm so grateful for it now. Then I was like, Mom, Dad, like, why can't I have a Nintendo? Why can't I watch MTV? You know, all that stuff. But so I spent my summers until, you know, junior high primarily running around the woods. Like Ren said, like I was all over in the woods building forts. I had these little like, do you guys remember the troll toys with like the crazy hair? Oh my God. So I would save up my allowance money and I'd go get either a new toy horse, like a little toy horse, collected them, or troll or Barbie. And my little sister, bless her heart, who was probably like two at the time, two or three, we would go out into the woods and we would build these, in my mind, really ornate tree houses and rock caves and Barbie car garages and like troll fortresses. And we had this whole like labyrinth of a world out in the forest around our house. By the end of summer, there were like different countries, different neighborhoods. Like we had a pond, so we would put them in the canoe and like float them out to sea, all kinds of silly, super fun stuff. Yeah, and it's really those moments of just being in nature and but it was like serious though. I was like, I took it really seriously. Like my forts and my trolls, like they had to have like the right architecture and Lord knows. And riding my horse too. At some point, like the universe blessed me a million times over with my grandma's neighbors who were very abusive to this pony. I don't know what they were going to do with them, but my grandma intercepted. And I had wanted a pony my entire life, but it was one of those things like sure kid, you know, but they were willing to sell them for $75. And I think I had like $80 in my allowance jar and I was like, Mom, Dad, please. So we went and we got him and he was my best friend for years. Topper was like the best dude. So I would just ride him out into the woods. Now that I think about it, I'm like, Mom, Dad, like, is that a good idea to let me just disappear all day on my horse? But hippies, right? So Yeah, lots of great memories just being out, especially just being in nature and being using my imagination. Yeah. All right. So activity time, imagination time. We're going to do a little popcorn round here. So we're going to play a game. I almost was going to go with truth or dare, but we're going to go with true or false or truth or fantasy, where one of you are going to tell us a memory from childhood, from summertime, and it's either going to be made up or it's going to be real. And you're going to tell us, I don't know, a minute or two or three of a story, and then we're going to guess whether it's truth or fantasy. And we'll do a round or two of this, and then we'll get into the treasure hunt stuff. Take a moment to noodle, and then feel free to raise your hand if something comes to mind. I see Layla smiling. Like, jazz, awesome.
Okay. So there was one summer where, like I said before, I was like really close with, or maybe not before, but I was really close with some people in my development. And my mom was very hardworking mother and wasn't always around. She had, you know, back to school full time for like 7 or 8 years of my youth and worked 3 jobs, the whole story. And so I spent a lot of time with like 3 families in my development. One of them had a girl, Misty, who was in my grade, and her younger brother, who was 2 years younger, and then a 5-year-old older brother. And they like adopted me basically. So I spent lots and lots of time with them, and they took me on vacation 1 year to Florida. And like one of my dreams was to swim with the dolphins. So there was this like, you know, like probably just terrible now, but like enclosure where there's like these dolphins held captive and you could like get in the water and, you know, you put the suits on and they like come up to you and they kiss your face and you could like pet them and, you know, just like interact with them, like actually right up in person. And you know, just like a fancy vacation, like went jet skiing and like out to dinner and, stayed in a nice hotel and, you know, ate good food and, in like a resorty type area. But the dolphins was like just the highlight, you know, crazy to like swim with the dolphins, like a dream of mine. Yeah.
Truth or fantasy, ladies? Who thinks it's a true story? Layla, Mia, Maura. Okay, Mia, Layla, and Maura think it's a true story. I'm going to say fantasy. Raise your hand if you think it's fantasy. Ooh, we're split. All right, Jazz. Big reveal.
Fantasy.
Oh.
Hey, you know,
nice
what,
one.
What came to mind was it came to mind because I literally described like my dream vacation, and the story about them being my best friends and me like living with them was totally true. And then they planned this family vacation, and I couldn't go, because. Oh. They weren't going to like pay my way. And there were certain lines. And so it literally was like a scarring memory because that's how in detail I could describe it. Cause that all of what I said was true. It just didn't include me. So it was like literally like my dream vacation that like my best friend, I'm pretty sure she verbatim like took my dream vacation at that time out of my mouth and told her family and they like did it. I was like stuck at home eating like fucking ramen noodles again. It was like dramatic, but you know, fantasy, it's all right.
Oh man, that's jeez.
I mean, I can laugh about it now. It was not funny then. I think I cried probably the whole week. But like, now it's like that. This is so funny how things like that happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, yeah. I didn't even. Who else had an? This might be an interesting road to go down. Not that we have to, but who else in childhood like had an experience where you had like a like wanted something so bad or a dream of something so bad, and then like somebody else got to do it or have it, and like it's just so close but so far away, and it was actually pretty upsetting. I definitely did, for sure. Good one, Jazz. Okay, so Jazz, you've got a good poker face there, Missy.
It helps. It was a real story.
Right. Yeah, it was real in your mind, so real fantasy. Oh. All right, who else? We'll do one more. Layla, awesome.
Okay, so you guys know that show Fresh Prince? So I was actually in Vegas when I was little because my parents and my dad's brothers and their wives, they all love to gamble. So we would go to Vegas a lot. And at the time, we would go to hotels like Circus. And I don't even know if it's still open again, but or still open now. So we go to Vegas, and the parents would all gamble downstairs at whatever hotel we were at. And then the cousins would just, like, stay in the hotel, play video games, pillow fight, you know, whatever, doing cousin stuff in the house or in the hotel room. So one of the trips, we didn't know it until pretty, like, we didn't know it at first. But they were filming Fresh Prince. It's the episode, I think, like Will gets married and, or he's, they go to Vegas and I think Will's getting married or something like that, or it's his bachelor party. And like they gamble and they lose a lot of money and they do a dance competition to earn back the money. So that was the episode. So we're at the casino at, it was MGM, and then we see like, me and my little cousins and my uncle, we see a bunch of cameras. So I just figured, I thought it was news or something, but as we got closer, we realized that they were filming Fresh Prince. So we were so excited and we just followed them. It was actually during a scene when like Will and Carl were like arguing and then there's a camera in front of them. And so we're in the background just following them. They didn't tell us to leave or anything. So if you watch that episode, you can actually see me and my little cousins and my uncle in the episode for like a split second, but you can see it.
Ooh, that's good. That is detailed. Okay.
And she has a good poker face too.
As she's talking about gambling, I'm like,
Yep. I had a lot of practice at a young age.
Okay. Who thinks she's telling the truth? Oh. All right, Deborah, the odds are in your favor, if you will.
No.
Deborah's calling fantasy. Was it really or not?
I thought I got the group. Deborah's right. No, it didn't happen.
Oh! Deborah with the win!
I'm telling you, it was good, though. It was really good. Especially with the split second, if you watch the episode. I was sold, but I was like, nah.
That was awesome. Was right? any of that Is any of that real?
I need details.
So I think it was easy to give details because it is partially true. I wasn't downstairs when they were filming it, but my uncle was. So you can see him for a split second, but I'm not in there.
Yeah, so no. My gut was like, they were too young to gamble. Damn it.
Well, they let you walk around the casino at that when you're young, as long as like you're not stopping, you know? Yeah.
Nice one. All right, Layla.
Thanks, guys.
That was awesome. All right. Anyone else feeling super called to mess with our minds? Okay, I'll do a quick true or false to test you, ladies. Okay, true or false? I can't even do this with a straight face. I have a horrible back. Okay. Me. Okay. True or false? I was grounded for at least half of the summer, most summers.
False.
Raise your hand if you think it's false.
I think it's true.
Raise your hand if you think it's true. Layla, what do you think, Layla?
Like you were a bad kid.
Layla, what's your vote? You're muted.
I'm guessing you were a naughty kid, but I don't think you got grounded for it. So I'm going to say that's false.
Okay, one more time. Hand count. Who thinks it's true?
That's a good point, Layla. Mm-hmm. I don't think her parents grounded her because they were so gippy.
Okay, false. Hands up for true. We've got Jazz, Nia. Okay. So Ren, Maura, and Deborah, and Layla think it's false. You guys, I was grounded all the time. I was grounded like all the time. I was like grounded on top of being grounded. Yeah. True story. I have been a free thinker my entire life, much to the chagrin of my mother. it was a really big issue. Eventually, I realized that.
But then what is grounding out in the wilderness with hippies?
Exactly.
So let's ride your horse.
Oh, you want to know? No.
Yeah, you still get to ride your horse?
Absolutely not. No, I got to be up in my bedroom writing sentences from the Bible.
Wow.
or like Bart Simpson on the chalkboard, like whatever it is that I did the fuck up, I would have to write that I will not blah 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 like 100 or 200 times. My mom, it would just like, okay, you've got sentences, wow. And I'd be like, damn it. yeah, no fun. But then I realized, okay, if I want to have freedom, I need to at least appear to follow the rules. So figured that out eventually. But yeah, sucked. I'd like look out my window and I could see like my family in the garden hanging out and like everyone's having fun. I would just be up there like fuming. And I realized it was all, you know, I did it to myself.
You have to learn to work the system.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. All right, ladies, let's move on. So, Maura, did you mention that you need to hop off?
I do. I need to hop off in about 10, 15 minutes.
Dang it. Okay. Let me see if I can. Okay, we'll laser around this. Okay, so last time for the treasure hunt, we identified something that we would love to be, do, have, or experience by the end of the summer, something that we can hold in an energy of fun and play and like not taking ourselves too seriously. And some of you were here, some of you were not, so all good either way. So take a moment to bring to mind, oh, Layla, you have to hop off. Okay, cool. Thank you for letting me know. Cool. So bring something to mind. It can be the the summer project from last call, or it can be something that's coming up fresh for you, but something that you'd love to be, do, have, or experience by August 31st, so by the end of this summer. And then we're going to do a buddy activity, and we're going to do breakout rooms for a few minutes. I think I can squeeze it in with more here. So take a moment to noodle. What would you just, on September 1st, where you're like, yeah, I'm feeling good about that thing. See what comes to mind, and I'll give you a minute, and then we'll do our activity. Thirty more seconds. Okay. Whenever you're finished with your thought, just point your eyeballs towards the screen so I know you're back. All right, cool. So I'm going to, if everything goes as planned here with the technology, I'm going to place you in breakout rooms, two per room. So it's perfect. We've got six of you, so we'll have three rooms. Totally randomly assigned. And what we're going to do is we're going to, you and whoever else you're in the room with, you are bunk buddies. So just like in summer, at summer camp of old, where there would be, you know, 10, five or 10, you know, girls usually to a bunk room where there's like bunk beds inside. And often the case, at least in the movies, where you kind of make a bestie, or you come with a bestie and you have somebody there that you like hang out with the most, that you trust and that, you know, knows all your secrets and stuff. So this is going to be your bunk buddy, and we're going to have a person A and a person B, and you can decide when you arrive in the room who's person A and who's person B, and we're going to flip. So everybody's going to get a chance to do this eventually. And I'll paint the picture for you. So it is summer 2022, so a year from now, and you are at camp and you're hanging out with your bunk buddy, and you're telling your bunk buddy all about this super cool thing that you did last summer that you were able to be, do, have, or experience, that you're so excited that you were able to be, do, have, or experience by September 1st. So you're like super excited. You're telling your buddy about this thing that you did. And I'm going to give you 2 minutes to for A to share with B their the thing that you're up to this summer, right? So we're kind of doing some time traveling. And then I'm going to bring you guys back to the circle. And when you come back, person B, your bunk buddy, is going to tell us all about this really awesome thing that you did last summer. And we get to kind of chime in and ask questions and like, oh, how'd you do that? Or like, what did that feel like? Or who helped you get there? Or whatever. So questions that like you would ask at camp if somebody was telling you this really cool story that their bunk buddy did the summer before. Make sense? Awesome. All right. So let me see how skilled I am at breakout rooms. Okay, I will bring you back in about 2.5 minutes. Have fun. Oh, wait. Mia, are you still? I can't tell if you're frozen. Hey, welcome. Thank you, Susan. Welcome back, campers.
Nice. Do nice have
with the light.
Oh, we're about to tell some campfire stories.
I love it. I love it.
You know it. If I had vegan marshmallows, I'd have those out too, but I don't. All right. Welcome back. Let's gather around the campfire. Woo. And who had the experience of a campfire when they were younger? A few of us. Okay. All right. And if you did not, or if it's a distant, faint memory, just to paint the picture here, it is nightfall. It is dark out. We are very safe, but because we're in an unknown space, it's a little bit creepy, but it's really fun. And there's a big fire in the middle of all of us, and we're sitting in a circle, and your bunk buddies just got back from sharing cool secrets in the dorms, in the bunk rooms, and now person B gets to share the awesome story from person A. So I know that Maura and Layla have a time budget here. So Maura, I'll invite you to, were you person A or person B, Maura?
I was A.
You were A. Okay, so who is your B? Layla, all right. Layla, tell us.
Well, times.
Tell us about it.
Okay. So, Mara's September of 2021.
I'm gonna jump in real quick. I'm gonna turn the playful, super fun, silly flame up to like 11. So, and you can play into this as much as you want to, but like, you guys, you are never going to believe what Maura did last summer, right? So tell us, like, he's like, we're all around the fire.
Oh my gosh, no pressure. I'll try. So Maura has this very adventurous, very outgoing dog who has a big heart, but is sometimes has maybe too much energy. And during the summer, last summer, Maura spent a lot of time with this beautiful dog with a big heart after time, this beautiful dog with a big heart wasn't biting, wasn't barking as much. And it got to the point where Maura could take this adorable, wonderful, beautiful pup that listens to her to restaurants, and this beautiful pup is everyone's laughing at me and became this amazing companion that was always like by her side and going to restaurants with her and family events. And and while she's doing that, her clients have quadrupled and she's earning a lot of money and life is really good. Summer 2021 has been an adventure for Maura. I don't know how I did. I tried to play into it.
Bravo! That was
well done. Yeah. Well done.
Love it. So now we're all around the campfire, and we get, now that we've like, oh my gosh, Maura, great! How did you do that? So who has a question for Maura that can help her remember how she did what she did? Ren.
Ren's the perfect person to ask this whatever question she has for me.
Maura, how did you get your sweet dog to start listening to you?
Oh my gosh. You know what, Ren? I invested a lot of money in some people who, as referred to by Ms. Miller, their zone of genius is dog mind. Oh, my zone of genius is avoiding lawsuits. So,
right.
So I invested a lot of money and I was consistent with my training with my dog and with the positive reinforcement training, because I went through a lot of trainers who wanted to use electric collars and other not very nice things that do not align with me.
Yo, so I'm right there with you.
I found the magical, perfect person who helped me show everyone that I have this amazing little guy who doesn't want to eat their face.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Who else has a question for Maura? That's so interesting. Wow. Maura, what's one of the, like, most exciting, like, things that paid off that you had been working on with the dog that you were like, yes.
I think the most exciting thing was that he's predictable and self-soothing, and I don't get nasty. Oh, actually, by this time, I won't live in the same complex, but when I had lived in the complex, I didn't get any more passive aggressive notes on my door. That was day three of living here.
What kind of dog do you have?
Hold on, I'll show you. I'm a little 18-pound rescue. I don't want to make Fawn cry because he had some resemblance to her guy.
Oh, it's okay.
We all had the same dog, me and Amy and Fawn. And but we rescued him in December of 19, and he's just a little traumatized, and he's a fear-based guy, and he's learned recently that the tool in his arsenal is to bite people. So that's not not great. But he loves us, and for all of the challenge, I'm very glad we rescued him. He was found on the streets of New York, and he deserves his chance. So that's my dog. There he is.
Oh, thank you. We're all dog people here, so I'm nerding out about that right now.
I know. Great.
Awesome. Anyone else have a question, fireside question for Maura about her super awesome thing that she did last summer? What other tricks did you teach your dog to do?
Besides not biting people, I think that's the big one. That's the big one.
The anti-trick.
Yeah. You know. What did Maura in 2021 learn from the trainer? I think I taught him to come when he was called and listen only to me, and trust that he was not the guy in charge and that he didn't need to protect the whole family. That's what I taught him.
Bravo. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you for recounting it, Layla.
Yeah, that's great, Layla. I love that you can bring him to family events now, Maura, and he can be around kids and family.
Mm-hmm.
Super ideal.
Yeah.
Yay. Awesome. All right. Who else was a person B? Ren, awesome. Tell us a story.
Okay, so guys, Mia has been working on this amazing book. And last summer, you're not going to believe this. This is freaking awesome. She managed to find the perfect editor, the perfect publisher picked her up, and she found the perfect book agent for herself. Like, one right after the other, not necessarily in that order, but in exactly the right order. And dude, they got it published before the end of the summer. Can you believe this shit? It was in production by the end of summer. Do you know what she's doing this year, right after camp? She's going on a book tour because it's already becoming a bestseller. It is like this close to being a bestseller. Dude.
I know it.
Ask her about this shit. This is awesome. What? Right? It's freaking amazing.
That's amazing. You guys, can you believe it? Who has a question for Mia?
How did you find all those right people? How did you do it?
The universe. I didn't have to do anything. That's the crazy part. Wow, Ren, you were really good. You gave me goosebumps. I was like, oh my God, that really happened. That sounded more better than what I told you. But yeah, the universe is aligned. I mean, that's the beautiful thing, right? When you're aligned with all the energies, is that you don't have to do everything. Because a lot of times when we think the things with the dreams we want to accomplish just seem so hard, like everyone tells you hard work, you're gonna work your ass off, but you know, I already worked my ass off writing it. Come on now, now it's the universe's turn. I'm like come on, I've done my part, now you do yours. So, and it did, you know, it listened, and it just somehow miraculously one after the other, boom boom boom. And I just want to, yeah, I know I'm getting off topic, but I just want to say, this is, I mean, no kid about the universe, because I told you, I'm fostering a dog right now. I've never had a dog my whole life. The 1 week that I've had him, so last Friday was the 1 week mark, it was on a full moon, and I go to like a neighborhood party, like this guy is moving to Florida, he's like older, so like, you know, there's random people there that I didn't know, and one guy, again, he started hitting on me. It was really awkward, but it turned out he was a dog trainer. So then he offered to train my dog for free. I'm like, what is, I've never met a dog trainer in my whole life. And now, boom, a week. You know what I mean? I'm like, damn, I'll take it. Yeah, just so weird, like how things are just like conspiring. So it's going to happen. The book too is, that's how it happens. Like, I don't know how, I don't know why.
So you mean last summer, like when you went to that party and at that random party in LA, that's when you met the publisher and you didn't even realize? Wait, which one did you meet first? It was like that random guy right at that. No, like, you know, in your last summer.
Oh, my last summer, yeah.
You like went to the,
exactly.
Went to that party, right? Where they had like the ice luge and you were like, no, I don't drink vodka. That one?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, that
and
one.
It's so crazy because I'm actually such a hermit. So for me to even go to a party, you know.
No, I remember you wore the black dress.
Yeah,
I know. That was crazy. Wait, so yeah. Which one did you meet first? The publisher, or the editor, or the which one? I don't remember.
I think it was the publisher, but then I was like, no, but the sequence is wrong. I need a book agent first, and she was like, no, forget about the agent. You know, like I love the story. Let's just. Like, you don't, yeah, I'll introduce you to the agent, but I'm already going to publish it, so you don't have to worry about the agent.
Yes.
Oh, and they said, oh, we're going to let you design the cover because you already have the idea, so, like, we're not going to, you know, like, put our own, like, spin onto things and mold your book into, like, something more commercial. We'll do it authentically, exactly the way you've been envisioning it. So you can do the artwork for the cover and bloody blah, and we'll just do all the publicity. And normally we don't give publicity to these new unknown authors, you know, first time publishers, but for you, because we can see this will be the next
you know, like Wild, you know, that book Wild or Eat, Pray, Love or one of those. Because it's a combination of like Wild, Eat, Pray, Love and Beautiful Boy. Like that's kind of the premise of the story.
So that the cover artwork on your book, you did that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes, I just wanted the book to be like a piece of meat, like every part is integrated. Yeah, that's why the book tour is not the traditional, you know, book tour where I'm talking in front of a bookstore in front of an audience. It'll be like, because you know,
Garden tour.
It'll be like a retreat tour. So like, you know, what different workshops could be a half day, 1 week, like yoga retreat / book, you know, bonding, connection and healing and just music and singing and everything. Everything that's in the book is going to be a part of the experience of this book tour.
Oh my God. That is genius.
Yeah.
I love that idea. Awesome. I want tickets.
No. Yeah, no wonder they published you on the spot. That is amazing. Who else has a question for me?
I've reserved spots for all of you ladies, so come on down. Yay. After camp, we're all going on a road trip. And I've got my dog Rumi with me, this beautiful white fluffy Maltipoo. And I'm like, Maltipoo is perfect because he poos all the time. He's like a Maltipooper. It's not even a Maltipoo. He poos like 4 or 5 times a day. I'm like, what's going on? I don't know if this is normal.
He's going on the road. He's going on book tour.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah. Who else has a question for me or like a curiosity? Gosh, this is a cool. Congratulations, Mia.
Thank you.
Wow. Oh, thank you, Maura, for being with us. Yeah, what an exciting thing. So you finished your book. You got everything just lined up, aligned, came into play for you. My goodness. Well, how does it feel being kind of in the media, like, I mean, I saw your book at the airport bookstore the other day, so I was wondering, like, how are you feeling about that?
I mean, I was super nervous about the exposure. I mean, I'm a very private person. I don't like, you know, these on-air interviews, like, on TV shows. But, you know, like, I just tune into my authentic self and think, well, whoever... the right people will listen to the message. I mean, it may not resonate with everybody. It doesn't need to. Not everyone needs to love it, but the right people will. And those are the people who will come on these retreats and who will resonate with the book. And yeah, so I just try to tune out the negativity. If there is, and I haven't heard any because I've tuned it out. I'm selecting my vibrations, you know? Yeah,
I love it. We definitely need to be coming to your retreat. You need to teach us this.
Oh my gosh, I know. It'll be so much fun.
Oh, I love it. Wow, thanks for sharing this with us, Mia and Ren. Super fun. I can also say, Mia, is it okay if I share? So I have had the absolute, actually, honor of reading her edit that she's sending to the public, like actually of her book. You guys, it's so good. It is so good that I stayed up until 1 o'clock in the morning and I have like 3 chapters left and I like don't, I'm like saving them. It's astounding. She's a phenomenal writer, storyteller. Like it's actually so good. So this conversation will be happening next summer. I believe it. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for that, ladies. All right, who was person B? I want to make sure we have an opportunity to swap.
So I was B for Jazz.
Yay!
And do you guys know last summer, oh my God, like the thing she's been dreaming about for so long finally came true. She has been able to become a counselor and help other people. She never thought it would happen. And you know what was the catalyst for all of this? How mean people treat each other. And so she was like at the grocery store, just doing her thing. She was buying food for a party and the guy was like totally judging her for the things in her basket, right? And she's like making comments, rude comments. And Jazz handled it professionally, but in her mind, she was thinking, the difference that I can make in people's lives will prevent people from acting like that, judging other people before you have the information. And so it's just been so cool to watch her transform people's lives, help people's attitudes to be more positive. And it just seems to be spreading like, what was that thing where pay it forward? That's what her work is like, pay it forward. And so I'm just so proud of her. You go, girl.
Wow. That was really great. You're a great storyteller. Buddy.
Oh, and by the way, I forgot to say, her website is up and running. Good job, Jazz. Yes, good job. And she just flew through those training modules, by the way. Like, they were just... She is on fire. Yes, you go, girl.
Amazing. Wow. Jazz, what's been one of the highlights of your experience now that you're able to really do what you love and connect with people and help them understand what you want them to understand?
Oh, man, that was a really great retelling, Deb. Say it again.
Actually, I'm gonna let you be in this like feeling because Deborah really did just like woo, bring that in.
Well, man, yeah, it's been a pretty incredible year, guys. It's just started with that person in pain in the grocery store. Really, I thought it started before that, but it didn't. Yeah, it's, you know, just the inside out revolution to come from.
What's been one of your like specific highlights, like somebody you had an experience or a moment where you were like, oh my gosh, this is happening?
I ended up running into that person from the grocery store. I know, like a year, almost a year to the day later. It was like a couple months ago, and I didn't know it was the same person. I forget how we figured it out, but I ended up just having a conversation with her, and some of those realisms and truisms of understanding who we are and how we can love ourselves and those around us just helped her to shine her own light. And she didn't judge anyone in the grocery store ever again.
You're the grocery store guru.
It's way harder to tell. It was easier to tell it like as a story than it is to like respond to the present.
I have a question.
Mm.
So I had something similar happen to me years ago. I had to be maybe almost 15 years ago. It was a while ago. But I always remembered I got some bacon and this guy's like, that's too much fat as he's walking past me. Yeah, very rude. And what advice would you give someone that is encountering someone that is just passing judgment? What advice would you give the person that's in the moment?
Oh, the person like receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. Well, I'd probably first give them like a hug or just tell them I love them. And, you know, I think it's like the clarity of like that come from on their end has nothing to do with you. And if you can just, instead of personalizing that, you look at them and say, man, how's your day? How are they doing? What's going on? Did your dog like shit on the floor in the Roomba, dragged it all over the house, and you had a really rough morning? Like what?
Do you have
like,
a multi-poo?
Like yeah, like let's talk about it. Because you don't really care about my groceries, you know? And so yeah, I don't know, the perspective of like anything that you feel that comes at you negatively is not, you've got a fucking orb around you that's so goddamn strong of light and positivity coming out your asshole. Just have to notice it.
I love a counselor that's not afraid to curse.
We would be a good match.
Yeah.
My husband tried to start a swear jar and that did not work out.
No. That wouldn't work for me either.
Gosh, it's just, you know what it is? I think it's just that moment was like all the noticing of all the times just became so clear, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not just that woman. It's not just the grocery store. It's every colleague, every random person in line at the amusement park, every mean family, you know, not mean, but like negative interaction with family or parents, or it was just like this like blown up explosion of, I don't know, just like seeing them like, oh, it's okay. Mm. Look, it's not about my grocery cart.
It's not.
You might be mad at you, or you're giving me a hard time about the way that I, you know, said something. It's not about the way I said something. What's going on with you? You know?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah, that's good advice. That's very good. That's very good counseling.
So wait, you mean those bumper stickers and t-shirts that I've been seeing around town that say, "You're so full of light, it's coming out your asshole"? That was you? That's your brand?
It was the craziest thing. Joel helped me make those stickers up as a joke, along with this like titty bar sticker thing that he came up with. And it was for fun. And then it was like, it's like a thing. It's a niche. I'll tell you what, it's a niche. It's not, I don't really want it to be my label, but I don't put my name on it, but I made some money. It helped actually pay for my website. It was crazy.
Oh, that's...
It's crazy. I know.
That's why your website is so amazing.
I know. I thought it was daunting. And then I was like, outsource what you can't do. Yeah.
Out your asshole.
out your asshole. It's perfect. It was perfect. I know. And
wow.
The web developer came to us from the puppies that we had last summer too. So it was like it all came around. It happened in like just a couple months. It was crazy.
Oh God. Oh, it's the best. I'm really having a moment here with your logo, your slogan. I had no idea it was you, Jess. That is just, you've taken the country by storm with that catchphrase of yours. Congratulations.
Bye, Layla.
Oh,
bye, Layla.
See you next time.
Thanks,
Layla. That was fun. Thanks, guys. Good night.
Bye.
Good night. But can you imagine, really, if we all felt that? Physically felt that if we walked around, like I joke about it with my kids all the time and people like, oh, I've got a bubble. Like I say it all the time. You don't worry. You can't penetrate my bubble. But like, imagine if people actually felt like that. If they like felt like so much love as like a shield, or if they don't want to think about it as love, then strength, whatever you want to call it, spirit, whatever you want to call it. God within you. I don't care. But imagine you felt that. Like, imagine I could help just one person go from like this to walking around with a goddamn orb of power coming out every orifice, not even just the a-hole. I mean, emanating from every orifice of their being, their skin cells. And they walked around like that. Like, nobody can hurt me. I'm like, I'm fine. There's nothing you can do to me. Like, I can help you though. like, I can, like, model for you. And, like, if you want to come into my bubble, like, I'll share all the love, you know? But if you don't want to, that's okay. You can't penetrate it. It's, like, nothing on the planet. It's actually unique. Like me, you know? Imagine we can make somebody feel that way.
You mean, remember how you, so oh, many I mean, people now, you are oh, making yeah. feel that way.
Yeah.
Reminding of them yeah. of that they already have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that is powerful stuff. That is some powerful light. I love that so
Mine's
much.
Mine's rainbow colored, like a unicorn. It sparkles. Mainly orange, but like lots of different colors.
Wait, you mean like... Yes. So people who usually in the grocery store are like this, you make them go like this.
Yes.
Oh, Uni got to make an appearance. She's happy. That's so awesome. Anyone else have a question about Jazz's last year before we swap back into breakout rooms? Okay. Let's go. So who? So you were B, you were B, and you were A. Okay. I'm going to put you in breakout rooms, and whoever, it's going to be a little bit off because Maura and Layla were an A and a B. But I'll let you guys sort it out between the two of you, who wants to be the A and the B, and you can play with it. Whoever was the, let's see, we didn't hear from.
So I should be with like Deb or Ren, because they were both Bs?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm like trying to compute it in my head, and I'm still thinking about the the light coming out of the apple. Okay, cool. Let's go for it. Cool. All right, we'll do 2.5 minutes. Have fun.
Deb, we have to pick up that conversation.
Oh no, did we lose Mia? Ren, were you in a room with Mia?
I was.
She's stuck in the vortex.
She was stuck last time too, so hopefully she'll be
her able square to... is there, but
not right. Her... Yeah. Hopefully there she is.
All right. So that ended up working out, right? I thought there were odd numbers, but then I was like, wait, perfect. Cool. All right. Who's excited to share about their bunk buddy? Who would like to go first? Jazz. Awesome.
Guys, I'm so excited. First of all, these s'mores are so good. Whoever thought to brought peanut butter cups, that was spot on. So... Do you guys remember when Deb was still finishing up? It was last summer. She was still finishing up her doctorate in educational leadership, right? And you know the shit that she went through before she got into this program. All of the garbage that she had to deal with in the traditional school system. She knew she wanted to get out. She knew she wanted to do more, impact, help women, et cetera. So... she was like, no, my life is perfect. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I like, you know, just I'm so happy. I don't know. I might use it. I don't know what path I'm going to go. I can't pinpoint anything. And then you won't believe what happened.
What happened?
She's at her ceremony, right? And she gets approached by the dean of her program. And they have this opportunity for her to travel around the country. They're looking for empowerment and oh my gosh, what does she do? Like trainers, specialists for women at different school districts, working with female educators, female administrators, female school leaders all over the country. from private to charter to public, you name it, to just support women in these roles who are having these experiences. And she was, oh my God, she was like, she was in LA, she was in Chicago, she was in Jersey, she stayed with me for a couple days.
Oh my God!
It was like first like, oh, maybe you'll just speak. And then all of a sudden she was like keynote, and she's got this like powerhouse toolbox that she's implemented that's turnkey for people to like use as effective measures when they're in these roles and when they're going through this struggle to basically like break the silence and navigate away from these happenings that they're maybe like ashamed of. And what she's giving them is helping them to make it better, and in turn like revolutionizing the school districts that she's impacting. I mean, it's game changing. It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. She had to turn down the TEDx. She was like, she had to turn it down.
That's crazy. And the dean approached her at the graduation?
I know. She thought it was just going to be like hosting some workshops. And now she's just a leader in the field. It's bananas.
Whoa, Deborah.
She didn't even say anything. Yeah, we thought she's just been working, like, you know, she's busy.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering why it was so hard to get a hold of her. We haven't had a session in a few months, but gosh, I had no idea.
I know, and she's writing a book.
Holy cow. That's incredible.
I know.
Wow, Ren, Mia, did you guys know this? That's amazing. Deborah, what's it been like to empower these women in these situations where they don't really have any support?
You know, what I've noticed is that just like with most things in life, when we think we're helping other people, we're actually helping ourselves. And so what I've noticed is, as I've been going across the country from district to district, supporting these women, helping them not to internalize all the craziness that's in the environment, I've been realizing that it's been helping me to heal from my own trauma. And so that book that Jazz talked about, I'm really excited about, being able to encapsulate all these things I'm doing, and that way it'll reach more people and support more women. So yeah, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
What was it like for you? Like, were you ready for all that? I mean, it sounds like what Jazz was sharing is you thought you were gonna do important work, but like it kind of blew up in a good way.
I was not ready at all. But, like was mentioned earlier, like when the universe aligns, right, you just got to go with the flow. And so it's just been one awesome experience. Like this network of women that I've been connecting with, actually, that's a very good point, because now I'm looking at not necessarily a website, but like a community, developing a community where they can actually support each other, maybe like a space where they can make a blog, maybe where they can share, oh, this thing happened to me. Is there someone with a similar experience that can support, so they can start supporting each other. And so, that would be awesome as well. So yeah, it's just been, more than I imagined.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you plan to take this internationally? When are you going to start traveling abroad?
That's a very good question. Why put limits on it, right?
Or actually, maybe you can be on with the next Jeff Bezos going to outer space. Maybe some alien females need your help.
Absolutely. But yeah, it went from, I don't even know what I want to do with this degree to, just blowing up. And by the way, my little buddy just woke up.
Hi, Blue.
Say hi, buddy.
Oh my God.
We get to go walking when we're done here. We're going to go outside. But yeah, so it's just been amazing. He's a little rescue too. I know we're all dog lovers, right?
What kind is he? He's
so cool. Oh, God knows. Some kind of terrier mix. Yeah, he's a cutie pie.
We should have a dog party next time.
Totally.
Right?
Dog round.
Totally. Yeah. Wow, Deborah, that is such an incredible year that you've had. Mia, Ren, do you guys have any, does anybody else have any, like, curiosities about that?
I don't even know where to start.
Right?
It's amazing. Oh, my God.
That's your enthusiasm, Ren. It's just giving me more energy.
I know you're going to need it. With all that travel.
Okay. Which I love, by the way. So, yeah. So, that's been the other bonus because I love traveling. And I never thought I'd be able to integrate it with my work this way. And so, that's been another bonus. Yes, indeed.
And didn't you have like 200 people on your last webinar?
Ooh. 200 plus.
That's what I heard.
What, you're doing webinars that are sold out?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
She did it from like an island in Mexico, wasn't it? With these
Now you're really talking.
We were trying to keep it secret, but yeah, she filmed that in a villa with me here in Mexico.
It was in your villa, right?
It was in my villa.
Because you finished the one cabin. What was it called? I forget the name of it.
Via Mágica Flora. Villa of Magical Flowers.
That was it. I remember.
Yeah. Yes. Amazing.
Yes. Just so many things have been happening, and so it's just really exciting. Yeah. And I think the most exciting piece is how these women are connecting with each other. And so that community is really strong.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember I was actually watching a clip from Stephen Colbert's show the other night. And that's right. That woman name dropped you. She was like, you guys don't even know this Deborah. And that's right. How did I even forget?
Yes,
you do. Wow. Yeah, you're growing such an amazing network. That is incredible.
And like Mia said, now the boundaries have been removed, and so that's beautiful. Like, just open it up to anyone. Yes, mm-hmm. All over the world.
Wow. Amazing. Congratulations. Wow. All right, Campfire Circle. How we feeling?
That was fun.
Huh?
That was fun.
Super fun, right? It's such a great way to drop into imagination. Yeah, I'd love to. We can continue kind of sharing highlights or takeaways. Everybody went, right?
Nope, Ren didn't go, right?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I'll go. So, I mean, did you guys know that Ren is a big-time artist? I mean, she's been, like, downplaying it, but I had no idea. So last summer, she had this idea that she wanted to make these back-to-school kits for kids. But then she kind of got sidetracked and, you know, life got in the way, which sometimes is actually a blessing. I mean, we all know that. So then she decided to shift her focus and go back to the idea of making paint kits, because she's an artist and she loves to paint and she wants to bring this kind of joy to everybody. So she started making, she made a batch and she was selling them at her friend's gallery. And she, you know, in the past, like the batches were selling like fairly, and she's like, oh, you know, we'll just try it out. But crazy, right? This time, I mean, the universe aligned and it was just gone. Like, it was sold out within minutes. Her friend called her up and was like, girl, you need to get your butt back in the studio and do some work. So she ended up doing 3 more batches that sold out immediately. I mean, she just can't keep up with the supply, which is always a good thing. And then she also has a space, a wall space in the gallery, exhibiting her own stuff that also sold out. So she's really getting, her name is just like, what? In that community. So she's really growing her, yeah, like her followers, her community, get really making a name for herself. And now she's like, oh, in this summer, she will be doing the, she's going back to the idea of doing the back to school kit, which she'll be working on. Because now with her name being, you know, well known and everywhere, those will sell out like hotcakes too. So she is just like on cloud nine with her creative endeavors. So exciting to see what's going to come next summer.
Wow.
That $1 million shark tank idea. Next summer.
Wow, Ren, that's amazing.
Well, Ren, I just had this great idea. I don't know how you feel about it, but but I'm thinking at my conferences when I'm traveling, because administrators love great ideas for their kids, right?
Oh,
and they know their teachers would eat this idea up. So I would love to sell your art kits at our conferences.
Oh, heck,
you know,
yeah.
Even just taking orders for it, right? And then you can have them delivered to the different locations.
Oh, hell
so
yeah.
They would love it. They would love it. They would love it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Once we get offline, we'll figure something out.
There you go.
What a great idea.
I'm going to have to hire a couple of friends to help me with with some of the work, but we'll get it done.
Yes. Get it done.
Ren,
that
well, I'm
brilliant.
Missed, my kids missed out on these. What's in the pink kits?
Well, there's typically three canvases that have art traced onto them in paint marker, and then I like to include one blank canvas so that you can do anything you want on it. And it also comes with like six or seven little tubes of paint. Oh, and also like an extra bonus tube of either like glitter paint or glow in the dark paint, something like that.
Oh yeah, it has to glitter.
Right?
Awesome.
Yes. And there's like a little sheet of like tips and tricks that you can do, but there's no instructions. That's the important
cool.
thing. Because this isn't a paint by number, do it exactly right. Like the original artist did it. This is your artwork.
Hey, wow.
Yeah. Mm. So here's all the paints, and here's some like, you know, like mixing paints, you know, mixing tips and stuff, and a set of brushes. And girl, kids, go to town. Have fun with it.
Wow.
That's like the most important part. I don't care how bad it looks at the end. As long as you and the kids had fun, that's the important thing. And I've actually had somebody tell me that they're not good at art. They like art, but they're not good at it. And the first kit that she did with her kids, she's like, God, this sucks. The kids look okay, but mine looks awful. And I told her, girl, who cares? Did you have fun?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now she loves doing it. She's like, almost on a subscription list for these.
Wow.
If I offered a subscription, I haven't done that yet. So.
I thought you had the subscription going.
I was thinking about it, and then I decided I don't know if I really want to do a subscription. So I haven't actually committed to doing a subscription yet. Still, even with these things selling out at the gallery and everything, I'm like, I've got so much going on. Trying to keep them in stock and a la carte orders on the website. I'm like, I don't know if I can even do a subscription right now. So maybe.
Sounds like you're ready for an assistant at this point.
Yes, I can almost afford one.
That's so exciting. Well, I mean, I've been noticing on your Facebook feed that as people get these kits, they've been posting these awesome videos and photos and like hashtagging it. I was wondering how that all worked. But the other day it dawned on me that, you know, because I'm like, what's going on in Ren's business right now where she's getting 2,000 likes within an hour? And I realized it's because everybody posts their projects on Tuesdays. That is so awesome.
Yes, I've been trying to encourage people to do that. Like, that's like one of the things in like the little tip sheet. Like, I'll have like, hey, make sure you post your video or your pictures or whatever. And every once in a while, I'll throw in like an extra, like, if you post this on this date, I'll give you like a coupon for your next order. Mm. And that seems to be helping a little bit too.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And I really encourage everybody to like talk together in on the page and in the groups and stuff, because cool. It's like community, man. You got to have your community.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a global art class.
Yeah. It's like, but the point is to have fun with it. I don't care if you get good at it. Just have fun with it. It's like, that's how you get good at it.
You know, I'm thinking about the therapeutic aspects of art as well. And so I'm not sure where that might lead, but I don't know. Maybe special education classes or.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And the therapeutic power of fun.
Yes.
Too. Right? So art plus fun, you've got a winning recipe, Ren. This is brilliant.
Yes.
No wonder you're selling out like hotcakes.
You can do summer camps. Imagine, you know, summer camps of fun, of art.
Yes. And they're great because, like, they're cartoony. It's kind of niche because they're like marshmallow characters, because I was kind of like.
Perfect for camp.
Right? But they're kind of cartoony and bold and stuff, so they're really accessible for a lot of people. Like, not just the kids, but the grown-ups, too. So it's like just some of the transformations in the adults that I've seen, it's just ridiculous.
Wow.
But, yeah.
So cool. You know, one of my favorite parts of this, Ren, is when you posted the other day that now you guys can afford to move to the Tennessee property like within 6 months. That is amazing.
Yeah. I cannot wait, because that means we'll get the house built, the well's already done, the septic needs to be put in yet, and we still need to finish the driveway. But like, once that's all taken care of, we're not even, dude, we don't even have to start out with a super tiny house, because we were thinking we might have to do that. We can do like a regular size house, not a huge one, because we don't want a huge one. But like, we've been thinking like maybe 1400 or 1600 square feet would be perfect for us. So we're just going to like do that. And we're going to like put it on like stilts, so we can like see over the trees in the summer.
And where's your studio going to be?
Huh?
Where will your studio be? Your workshop?
Well, we haven't quite figured that out yet. There's two options. Either one of the extra bedrooms, because we might do a three-bedroom house. Or, if we do that, then one of the bedrooms is going to be my husband's space, and then the other one will be my studio space. The other option that we're looking at is building me my own studio building. So that might be the way we go, because that would be freaking awesome.
That's what I was thinking.
Right.
Yes.
I told
him. Go big or go home.
I told him, though, I have to have air conditioning in here. It's got to be climate controlled, because those paints, if they're in like super hot summer and super cold winter, they're going to go bad. They're just going to like dry up and get gross. So. So that's one of those things. He's like, I know. I'm like, okay, well, I don't care if it's in the house or out of the house, but it's got to be climate controlled. So we're still working out the layouts of where everything is going to go and stuff. So we've got like two sites that we're looking at. One of them is on top of the rocks, because that's nice flat rock surface. And then like, we could like put it up on stilts. We could have like this nice a porch underneath the house, basically.
I can see that.
Right? It's like, that would be just awesome.
Yeah.
And then the other one is like in a different spot, further up a little bit. So just got to figure out which one we want, which one's going to be easier.
So many possibilities.
I know.
Okay. Zoom just kicked Jasmine out, and it kicked me out too, but thank God it's not letting her back on, but I'm hopping on. She says good night. And thank you, everybody.
Good night,
Jasmine. that was super inspiring and invigorating, like thinking about your studio in the woods on the property, climate controlled.
Yeah.
And then you can have your own gallery too, right? So not just your friend's place, but your own gallery where people can come and...
I could, but I don't think I want it on my property because we're in a rural area. And let me tell you, the state highway is a one-lane gravel road.
Oh,
well, I think if I do go for my own gallery, I'm going to put it up in one of the nearby, like, tourist towns. Because I thought about that.
Very cool. Yeah. Wow. Well, congratulations. Congratulations to all of you. My gosh, this past year has been, you made it happen. You ladies really, really did the work. Like Mia was saying earlier, you did the work and the universe came in and carried you to these levels that you have been beyond what you had been dreaming before. And I am so excited for each and every one of you. This is so cool. And I can't wait until the next time we meet. And I'm excited to buy everybody's book and hitchhike along on Deborah's book tour and Mia's book tour and go visit Ren and her property. So much fun. We're at 9:30 or 2 hours right now, so I'm gonna start wrapping up. This is like one of my favorite lands to play in, like spaces to play in is imagination, and the power of future vision is enormous. And it's something you've probably heard this in a lot of like personal development books of like visualize your future and, you know, like in detail. And it's true, like our subconscious mind, there's so much power there. And the communicating it vocally, verbally, emotionally to somebody else and then hearing it back, there is a force in that, a power in that, that I don't know how to explain, but it has this like rising tide. The universe is like, okay, she's spoken it to her peers with confidence and positivity. So this is one of the most special, beautiful, magical things we can do, ladies, is share our dreams and our visions in a playful space, in a safe, supportive space where we're also able to let go of any expectation or let go of like, oh my God, what if it doesn't happen, right? In this space of, we're already there a year from now, like we're already celebrating, we're we're with you. So I invite you to, if you have time this evening after this call, to just grab your journal and jot down any takeaways, anything that came through for you. How did this feel? What was this like? Any insights? Like write as much as you can down, and this is like your future anchor that you can come back to always visually in your visualizations and also in your journal, and you can elaborate on it and expand on it. And it just, it keeps growing and building. And we can always do this again too, because it is such a great exercise. So yeah, thanks for playing. Thank you so much for playing, ladies. You're the best. I appreciate you. Awesome. All right. We're over time. I shall bid you good evening. And I look forward to hearing takeaways. I'll probably tap you guys on the shoulder in the Facebook group or in our calls and see how you feel about it. But yeah, that was great. Beautiful. Take that energy out into your lives.
Thank you, Fawn. Thanks, Maria. Thanks, Leah.
Thanks, ladies.
Bye.
Thanks, ladies. Bye.